We need to be about our Father's business. So look busy. Look busy, everyone. Amen. Excellent. So that's why we're talking today about a sending vision. Amen. The vision of God wouldn't be complete if no one was sent out. If Jesus just left and said, hey, I did all this ministry and I'm going out. But before he left, he said, just as the Father sent me, I am sending you. Just as the Father sent me, I am sending you. So after every person is one to Christ and they get connected to the body of Christ, we talked about all those steps in the vision. We said, if you want to show that slide there, Jessica, that shows all the steps. You know, the connected phase, we said, hey, we want, number one, to get plugged into a connection group. Number two, you want to find a place to serve. Third, you need to, you know, be ministered to, because all of us have a past and we all need something that needs to be ministered to. Amen. And last, everybody, and that happens at the encounter mainly. It happens in many different forms, but this is a powerful way to do it. And I'm happy to report that we have like around 70 people signed up for the first go around of our foundations course. Amen. And most of them are going to go to the encounter. Some of them have already gone to an encounter. The ones that just came away with us with the leadership, they're still going to attend the foundations course. So we were supposed to only have 60 going. So we're going to find a way to get everybody, you know, some ministry. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So you got to get connected. Then we got to get trained. You know, that's discipleship in a nutshell. You're going to dive into the word. The Bible says to be diligent to show yourselves approved, a worker not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we give you 3 10-week levels where we teach you, you know, the word. But the other thing we work on is character. And we work on it being experiential. We want you to be, for it to be hands-on, not just academic knowledge. Amen? And ultimately, to develop the character of Christ in you. Hallelujah. The Bible says that, you know, that we've all been given gifts. But how many know that gifts can take you places, but without character, you fall really quick? Another way to say it is, you know, your giftings will make room for you, but only your character can keep you there. Amen? And that's what happens a lot of times. People have gone to the heights, but they don't have the character of Christ, and then they fall. So we desire that every believer not only find their giftings, explore their giftings, use their giftings, but also develop the character of Christ so that they can then go to the last phase, which is to be sent. So one simple way for us here locally is for you to say, hey, you know what? I think I'm ready. I want to host a connection group in my home or in my workplace or in some other strategy that the Lord would give you. But that is just one type of sending. The sending also really is about you going to do whatever God's called you to do. Everyone has a slightly unique or very unique, you know, type of ministry in the body of Christ that God has prepared since the foundation of the world for you to walk in. Amen? So today I want to talk about this sending. I want to start with Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Right before Jesus left the earth, you know, the Bible says he ascended to heaven. Acts 1 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. So there's different kinds of sending. There's a training type of sending. Hey, you're still in the training phase, and I'm sending you to do a work. I want to see how you do. Usually it's going to be a low-risk type of task that, you know, that a pastor, or even if you talk about organizations, a leader will give you to do. Because he knows you may fail, but you're going to learn something in the process, and when then you come back, you'll be more wise. You'll have some insights and experience that you can build upon. So Jesus did that with his disciples. We see that in Matthew chapter 10, right, where he said, hey, two by two, go into all these villages. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to cast the devils out. I want you to heal the sick. After, you know, this short season, come back and talk to me and let me know how it went. So that was in their final sending. What we see in Acts chapter 1, hey, that was the final type of sending. It says Jesus is saying, hey, I'm leaving. You know, I'm giving this ministry to you. You know, Pastor Joseph said, hey, I'm retiring. Eric, I'm sending you. And there's different kinds of sending. I got 8 type of sending, you know, about almost 2 years ago. Here you go, Eric. Have fun, right? Good. So another example of this that we find in the scripture is in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. And this is for when Paul and Barnabas were sent on their first missionary journey. You can say that this is the first missionary trip that we find in the New Testament in the way we know missions. It says, among the prophets and teachers of the church of Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Sinium, called the black man. Another version says Niger, because many Bible scholars believe that he was from Africa. He was a Gentile that not only got saved here in Antioch, but then became a teacher of the word. He had grown in the word. Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, and Saul. And one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Everybody say, sent them. Amen. So it was the Holy Spirit that said, they need to be sent. Hallelujah. So my first point for today's message is sending is strategic. Sending is strategic. God has a plan and it will be executed. God's plan is thorough and it is complete. The word says that his word will never come back void. It will fulfill the purpose for which it is sent. God is not just rolling the dice with our lives, seeing what's going to happen. Come on. He's got a plan for the ages, and he's sending his people, you know, to every tribe and nation throughout the world. But not only every tribe and nation, but to every sphere of society. He's appointed each one of us. Some of you have influence in certain areas that I will never have influence in. And I may have influence in areas that you will never have influence in. So God sends you to that place. Sometimes we wish, oh, I wish Pastor so-and-so was here to minister to this people. But God didn't put that pastor in that situation. He put you in that situation because he believes that you, after you are trained, that you can be sent to do a great work in that. You can win some souls for Christ in that location. Amen? God has a sophisticated catching process. He has the right lure. Come on, have you seen that? He has different types of lures. You know, he knows where the fishing holes are. Come on. And he always gets his fish. Come on. Hallelujah. And notice that he said, we're going to start in Jerusalem. Hey, your very own life, the things closest to you. And then you're going to go to Judea. You're going to go to your home and your community. And I like this. Then he said, I want you to go to Samaria. And it's very interesting that Jesus pointed out Samaria. One, because they were part of the 12 tribes of Israel, but also because a lot of the Jews looked down on the Samaritans. We find that, right? In John chapter 4, when he was talking to the woman at the well, we knew that the Samaritans were looked down upon. Hey, what are you doing talking to a woman? And a Samaritan is that, right? But Jesus here, before he goes out, hey guys, don't forget. Don't go to Jerusalem, Judea, and then don't forget to stop by in Samaria before you go to the ends of the world. Because maybe some of them, we see Peter struggling with this later on, you know, just ministering to the Gentiles in general, right? He said, don't forget about the Samaritans. So who do the Samaritans represent? They represent the ones that are in the highways and the byways, the ones that are outcasts, the ones that people wouldn't give anything for. But Jesus said, I have not forgotten about those people. And sometimes we like to minister to people that look like us, talk like us, or dress well, smell good. But God says, no, I want you to go to the Samaritans too. I want you to go to those people that are not very sophisticated. Amen? They're still my people. I still love them. They're still my reward. And I want them for my family. Hallelujah. So I believe that God is stirring the hearts of people. This is a season of preparation. As we're building upon the foundation of the word, I believe that God is going to begin to stir the hearts of people. He's going to give them dreams and visions to go out and do things that they never thought they would do before. I'm telling you, as a young person, I would go to youth conferences and my heart would be stirred, you know, to serve God. My heart was particularly stirred, you know, for young people at first, on the area of worship as well. But I knew that God was calling me. I remember being in college, and I was, after 3 years of engineering, I said, Mom, I don't have an appetite for this anymore. I don't want to do engineering anymore. I'm done with this. I want to go to some kind of a Bible school and be a worship leader. And she said, no. You're going to finish engineering school. You've gone 3 years into this, and you're going to finish. And I'm glad that my mom did that. But you know what? There was a stirring in my heart that I said, I want to serve God. I knew that there was something better out there. And I believe God's going to put that fire inside of you to say, you know what, there's got to be more to life. you know, all these mundane people, and I see people hurting. He's going to show you their faces. He's going to show you their hearts. And you're going to grow deeply dissatisfied with the status quo. You're going to want to do something about it. That is the beginning of being sent out. Children, God's going to give you a boldness. Let me look. All the children, look my way. All right, I always think of, obviously, of Alexandra and Monica and Summer, because they're closest to me, and Natalie, all these children, and Landon, and Caden, I'm sorry that I messed up your name, right? All these children in here, God is going to give you boldness, and you need to know this, young people, children, we're not of this world. It's okay to be different. It's okay to be misunderstood. It's okay to not be cool. Because one day when those people are lost in hopelessness, they're going to look to you. They say, there was something different about you. Be willing to stand up. When I went to, you know, a Catholic school, and I'm not putting down Catholic schools in Mexico, they're probably the best private schools, but you know what? They taught a catechism that went, in some cases, that went against the Word of God. And I remember I would stand up as a child, and I said, that's not what the Word says. You know? And then they would teach again, I don't think that's in the Word. You know, yeah, the Word says this and this and this. And then finally they say, you know what? Anybody doesn't want to be in here, you can leave. So I walked out, and about 5 other kids followed me to the basketball court. You know, that was kind of cool. But, you know, you got to be willing to stand up right where you're at. When I was the captain of the soccer team of Buena High School, you know, and I was the worship leader of Centro Cristiano Shiloh, now Lifehouse, and I remember one night we had a game that was away. I think it was a Douglas that day. And I told him, hey, guys, I can't go to the game. I have to lead worship. What? You're the captain. It doesn't make any sense. I said, no. And I said, sorry, guys. I have to be at church today. I won't be able to go to tonight's game. You know, and I remember a lot of people didn't understand what I was doing. But one mother came to see me. Eric, I appreciate you standing up for what you believe. You know, and I know that it made a difference. It made a difference, but we gotta be willing to stand up, children. We gotta be able to, you know, stand up to people. It's okay to be misunderstood. Jesus was misunderstood. Jesus was uncool. The ruling people of their nation thought, oh, they looked down on Jesus and his message, right? Right now, they're calling Christian fundamentalists, you know, and they don't know what they're doing. They're just, they look at all the French cases and the bad things that Christian has done here and there, and said, that's what all Christians are like. Don't they do that? Point number two, the Father does the sending. The Father is the one that does the sending. Like I said, he has got a plan. God sent Moses to the people of Egypt, right? God sent Jonah to Nineveh to warn them. God sent Jesus to become the Savior of the world and to share that the kingdom of God was near. Amen. But then Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, John 20, verse 21, I am sending you. Come on, tell the person. Said, God is sending you. Just give it time. God is sending you. Some of you are like, I'm already there. I can't wait. You know, some of you are like, I still need to get trained. That's okay. That's what we're going to do. But you have to note here that Jesus didn't say this to the disciples until after 3 years of training. And that's where a lot of people go wrong. Some people go out and say, I'm going to go start at work before they get trained. And then they quickly get discouraged. That's what the Word says. Do not give ministry to a novice. You don't want a bishop or even a deacon to be a novice. It's going to be somebody who stood the test of time, has been trained, has shown themselves faithful. They know the scriptures. They have the character of Christ. Because trials and tribulations will come. And that's when your character will keep you standing. Sending is about timing. Amen. First, like I said, you're one to Christ. Then he wants to heal your mind, your heart, and your body, your spirit from the effects of sin, from hurts, and your past. He needs you to have his identity. Amen? We don't want to be preaching a different message. When God doesn't set his identity on us, we start preaching a different message. We need to preach Jesus. Hallelujah. The Father has infinite creativity in sending people. He sends people into every sphere of society. The Bible says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. And I want to see God holding each one of us like an arrow on his bow and pointing to a sphere of society. And someone will send you right there. Boom. Yes. Right in the center of the bullseye. Right into the target. You're working with the military. I have some military people right there for you. Boom. Come on. Yes. Hallelujah. Some have been deployed as missionaries, pastors. Come on, musicians, leadership experts, sports figures. Come on. I love me Ben Watson, you know, the tight end. He just retired of New Orleans. He's been such a bold witness for Christ. I mean, I love reading his posts on Facebook. What a man of God. He's written books now about how to parent and stuff like that. But he stood in the middle of a market that is full of sin. Come on. We see how many NFL players, you know, that are just doing things they're not supposed to be doing. But then there's Ben Watson. And then there's Tim Tebow. I love me some Tim Tebow. Yeah, what a man of God. Even though things haven't gone the way he would have liked, you know, you see the joy in his life. He continues to minister to people. He started a foundation to treat people, you know, that have Down syndrome. Or not to treat people, but to give them opportunities to do cool things. Hallelujah. You like to reason? There's a Ravi Zacharias for you, a guy that can, you know, do logic with the best of them. Come on. He's been deployed in that arena, and so many people being raised up to be in the field of apologetics. Come on. You like to be on the radio? Okay, God has put amazing radio personalities. He's put great teachers, scientists. Anybody heard of Ken Ham? Hallelujah. This is man that started the Ark, you know, in Kentucky. He built a full-size Ark to prove to people that, yes, you can, you know, put every kind of species inside of the thing, that the flood did happen. Come on. And he goes after the evidence. And you know, as time goes on, you think that, oh, they're able to disprove more of the Bible. It's the opposite. As time goes on, more of the Bible keeps getting proved. Improved. 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 Why? Because God designed everything. Come on. And hallelujah. Soldiers, sailors and marines. Come on. He's mobilizing you to strategic points there. You know what's happening nowadays? YouTube personalities. Come on. There's people that just become famous just because they're in YouTube. But you know what? There's men and women of God there that are preaching the gospel as YouTube personalities. Isn't it amazing? There's artists, fashion designers. We need godly lawyers. We need spirit-filled politicians. Don't we need that? And you might be that. I'm not trying to, you know, pigeonhole you into, hey, you got to be a small group leader, you know. You may be a small group leader for a season, but maybe at the end of the day, you're going to be a politician that's going to stand up for what is right. You're going to make laws that are righteous, that go according to the Ten Commandments. We need people of faith in every sphere of society. Come on. Do you guys believe this? Am I the only one that's believing this? I don't feel an excitement in the room. Come on. Hallelujah. God has a greatness that he wants to display in each one of you. He has chosen you as his mirror to show his greatness. It's going to be a different type of greatness for each of us, but God likes to show himself through his people. Don't we rejoice in our children when we say, oh man, I love it when she does this. She looks just like me. Oh, look at the little guy. You know, oh, his lips are just like mine. Or something like that. You rejoice in your children and your grandchildren. How much more does the Father in heaven rejoice when you show an aspect, an attribute of God in your lifestyle? Come on. Hallelujah. I'm always amazed at the ways that people can bring glory to God. Which brings me to point number three. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers ascending. We can't miss this part. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers ascending. Going back to Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you will be my witnesses, beginning, what does it say? In Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But remember, there was training, and then there was the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You will never be an effective witness without the Holy Spirit in your life. Come on. If you're in the training phase, you know, you're learning to communicate with the Holy Spirit, that happens. But once God sends you to do a special work, you need the Holy Spirit in your life. Come on. He's going to reveal to you things. He's going to give you words of knowledge, visions, dreams, prophecies. Our God is a supernatural God. Some people think that all you need is training. No, Jesus said that you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But let me say this way too. Some people think that all you need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, You can be full of fire, seal, and power, but if you don't know how to wield the power, you're going to mess it up. You need to be trained. Come on. You need to have some character of Christ in you. We've seen too many shenanigans by the charismaniacs. Come on. I love the goosebumps. I love to feel the presence of God and the fire of God in my life. But if at the end of the day there's no change in your character, something's not right. God wants us to look like Jesus. He wants us to be carbon copies. You don't know what that means. He wants you to be an exact representation of Jesus. Hallelujah. Xerox copy. That people still don't know what I'm talking about. Come on. Hallelujah. Don't chase the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Chase God. The Bible says we should ask for the gifts. That is good. But chase God. Be a God chaser. If you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, all those things will be added unto you. They will be around you. They'll be all over you. Come on. Hallelujah. By their fruit you shall know them, says the scripture. We want the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is not tongues. That's a gift. Did you hear that? The fruit of the Spirit is not tongues or your prophecy. Those are gifts to edify the body of Christ. But what is the fruit that God is looking for? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no limit to these things. It's in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, in case you know where that's at. That's the fruit that we want to see in each one of us. That's what's going to impact people around you. How will they know that we're his disciples? By the love that we have for one another, the forbearance, the patience, when we overlook each other's faults, come on, when we, you know, speak the truth in love, not to destroy, but to build up, come on, yes, you're messing up, but let me tell you how you can do better, and I'm going to come alongside of you, even while you're struggling. And some people struggle and struggle and struggle. Well, it takes somebody else who will have forbearance and patience and love to hold them up until they mature. Come on. I need you to be that kind of believer. God wants you to be that kind of believer. To hold other people up. When the character of Christ is coupled with the power of God, watch out, world. Watch out, world. When you're sent by God, his power is going to be there for you. With every vision, there's provision. When Moses said to God, when I go to Pharaoh and he asked me, who sent me? What shall I say? I am sent you. What if they don't know who I am is? When they tell me what's in your hand, throw the stick on the ground. Put your hand inside your coat. Turn into leprosy. Put it back in. Okay, it's healed. All right. Now you're starting to get the hint. This is a powerful God. There was a burning bush that wouldn't get consumed. He's going to be with me. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, the first time somebody gets healed when you pray, you'll be as surprised as the person, you know. When somebody gets saved under your message, the first thing you're like, you do? All right. Well, great. Let's pray, you know. It's okay to be surprised. You know, everybody walks into it kind of like, hope this works, you know. But then when you come out of it, you're like, yes, I'm anointed. I'm the man of God. Woo-hoo. I'm the woman of God. Hallelujah. Brings me to the last point, and I'm finishing. Jesus is the reason for the sending. We just watched the video, and we must go. We must go, you know, to the highways and the byways and to compel him to come in. My scripture for this, and I want you to really read these words. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Listen to this. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Come on. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14. But how can they call on him to save him unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Right? Hallelujah. That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Hallelujah. You never go to do your job in the army until you go through your, you know, first you go through, what do you call it, basic training, and then you go through your MOS training, advanced initial training, right, AIT. You got to get your training, and then you're awarded that job. I mean, that maybe even rank, and then you go and do that work for the military. It was the same thing here. You get trained up. You come underneath other believers that have gone, you know, ahead of you, and they say, come on, just follow me. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. If you see Christ in me, you should do that as well. Come on. He said, I didn't come to you just with persuasive words. I came at you under the power of the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders following. Come on. Some people are one but never get connected. Some people get connected but never get trained or discipled. Some people get trained but are never sent. Sometimes it's because the leadership is reluctant. We'll take that. Sometimes the leadership does a poor job of sending people. But sometimes it's because we're reluctant at accepting the sending. It all takes faith. And I just want to finish. Unless you are sent, someone will not hear the gospel. There's some sphere of society, maybe one of your relatives, someplace in the world. God sent someone for you. How did you become saved? Who was deployed to tell you about him? Who was deployed to connect you? Who was deployed to train you? Everyone needs to be sent. Amen.